today.
Tonight we're here to learn about short-term rentals from neighborhood perspectives. Before we get started, I just want to give some background on how this process started. I know there were some questions in the first session about what precipitated looking into this issue, and I just want to bring everybody onto the same page. So local governments nationwide are exploring and investigating the potential impacts of short-term rentals on their communities, determining whether or not there are impacts, and if they are, what we can do to mitigate them. Weaverville's Town Council gives staff a list of topics to investigate every year. Short-term rentals were one of those in the past year. Just to look at the potential impact of short-term rentals on factors such as housing affordability, housing stock, and community character. Because this is something that's being investigated throughout our entire region. Asheville, Buncombe County, Woodfin, Boone, I mean, everywhere, we're all looking at this. And so the planning board directed staff to partner with my organization, Land of Sky, to do some public engagement and gather community input about this topic. And like I said, to identify any existing issues, any concerns surrounding short-term rentals. So that's not to say that there are problems, it's just the town trying to get ahead of an issue that is present in our region. Does anybody have any questions about that before we go ahead and get started? Okay, all right. So the goal of tonight, like I said, is to understand the picture of short-term rentals from those that live in neighborhoods with short-term rentals. So you'll notice I'm giving you all numbers. I can see most of them. But I am going to be calling on people individually, talking a little bit more directly to you about each of your individual experiences. So this time is set aside for people who live in neighborhoods that have short-term rentals. So if you don't fit that group, it's okay if you're here, but I just ask that you guys reserve your comments towards the end of the meeting and after the meeting so that we can use this time to gather feedback from that specific group. Okay, so let's see. All right, so I wanna start, I've got my list of notes here, that's why I keep looking down. I wanna start by just going over our rules of engagement. So this is just the rules that we're gonna play by tonight. The first is that we're gonna commit to making this a safe space for honest expression. Really, this time is set aside for y'all as a community to voice your experiences, share them with me so that I can, you know, put them together. The second is we're gonna demonstrate respectful engagement. So it's okay to have a different opinion than somebody else, but we're not gonna criticize each other. So we're gonna welcome diverse opinions about this topic because we know that, you know, this topic, many people feel many different things about it. Be honest and constructive, so no bashing each other. And also we're gonna be concise. So we've only got 54 minutes and 30 seconds. And so we're gonna try to use our time as effectively as possible. So, let's see. I'm gonna do an icebreaker question. So raise your hand if you have stayed in a short-term rental before. Okay, wow, so like almost everybody. Okay, great. Okay, so I'm going to just ask the general question. Feel free to raise your hands if y'all have a response. What does short-term rental mean to you? Anyone can answer. I will call on people.
Vacation and Airbnb for vacation. Okay. A few days.
I would say a week or
a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does everybody else feel about that? A week? Does that feel like kind of or less?
Less. Yeah. It could be up to a month, three.
Up to a
month or less.
A couple days.
Okay. Okay, so I want to now focus more on your neighborhoods. So I'm gonna ask y'all to raise your hand, and I'm gonna ask you to identify what neighborhood or street you live on, just to identify what area you're here to kind of represent. So how would you describe your neighborhood? What are the things that you like and value in your neighborhood? Feel free to raise your hands.
I value community, walkability, privacy.
And what neighborhood are you?
I'm on Ridgewood Avenue, downtown Weaverville.
Okay.
I value close relationships with the neighbors, and I'm on Highland Street.
I live on Church Street, and it's a special street in that we have a lot of diversity and we all get along. And then there's that Airbnb at the end of the street that's changing things.
Well, we'll get to that. Okay, so I'm hearing sentiments of closeness, knowing your neighbors, being able to walk through the community. Is that generally, does the rest of the group find that to be in line with your neighborhood, or are there other things that you would call out?
I live in the Ugly Park, Flat Creek. Behind the bread store, I value my neighbors because they're awesome, and we have a pet lamb that we share to be here.
Awesome. Okay, and is anybody that's here tonight, are any of y'all, in addition to being parts of your neighborhood, are any of y'all short-term rental owners? And for those of you that are short-term rental owners, do y'all live in the same neighborhood as your short-term rental?
Yeah. I live in the house of my rental.
You live in the house. Okay. And I saw some other hands.
No.
You don't?
We did, we don't.
Did?
Yeah.
Don't? Okay. All right. Okay. So characteristics, closeness, these important relationships, walkability, sense of community, sense of closeness.
I'd add safety to that.
Safety.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Knowing who is in your neighborhood and what dogs and what, you know, mm-hmm. who is there. Yeah.
Okay.
I live at Church and College Street. I live in a neighborhood where we really look after each other. We feed the dog next door when they're away for the weekend. The lady across the corner needs somebody to check in on her every day. Just that closeness and that sense of looking after each other and knowing that the neighbors are looking after us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We got stuck at LaGuardia Airport last year overnight. It was not fun. But and we had dogs and cats in the house and needed to go out, needed to be fed. Our pet sitter had finished, you know, her time. And our neighbors came over and did that all for us. And that it's just great to know that when this happens and you're already trying to figure out how you're going to get out of LaGuardia, that somebody can be at the house to take care of the pet.
Okay. All right. So for those of you that have shared some of those sentiments, and even those that are listening, have your neighborhoods changed over time, and how?
I think they have. We are on a very small street, Rapid Ridge Drive, which is off Union Chapel. It's kind of separated from town, but it's in town. And it, 10 houses. And when we moved there 10, 12 years ago, everything was very close. Everybody was like that, knew everybody in and out of everybody's houses. And we have one rental and two Airbnbs. It's changed the complexion of the street. It's a very small street.
So how would you say that it's changed the complexion of the street?
Like I said, well, we don't necessarily know who's there. The house, it's kind of close to us. The person lives there, but rent out their basement, which is probably, it's zoned for three bedrooms. That makes a fourth bedroom, which for septic tanks is not really legal in Weaverville. It had rowdy people that knocked over people's mailboxes and then they deny it, you know, that kind of thing. It's just changed the complexion of the neighborhood.
And what about the rest of the group? I see a couple people shaking their heads. Yes.
No, we haven't. We live off Pleasant River Road. We have two vacation rentals directly around our home, and we haven't. It's not really changed anything about our neighborhood. They're well maintained. We know the owners. It's been a good experience.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is as much a comment on the cost of housing in this area and others as well. But we have had a house down the street that had a much prized young couple that lived in Fire Street, and you know, it was sold in a short-term rental. It's been well kept and all, but we sure did miss having that diversity on our block, and I think that's an issue.
Uh-huh. And I saw number 8, 9.
Yeah. We live up on Waterpoint Way, and had the first home that was sold, because that's a new area, was sold to somebody who's now operating it as an Airbnb. We've never met the owner. This is the second property manager that they've had in a year and a half. And it's, you know, it's just a revolving door. We've had, you know, some challenging situations, but I guess just, you know, hearing that, not knowing who even owns the house and never having met them, and the property managers are pretty absent as well. The people come in and clean and they go, and so there's really no ability, if there is a challenge or an issue, to connect with somebody and talk it through. So
it's
go ahead.
I was just coming in and wanted to add that it's that the owner is an out-of-state investment company, so nobody knows, no one's seen them or anything. So
And so I come back to number 20 maybe. Do y'all own the short-term rentals that are on here? Or do you guys know who owns them?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we've actually been, the homeowner lives in Florida. He is up several times a year. We've been to parties at his house. We have his number, he has our number. He contacts us if there's ever a problem, and we're willing to help in any way. There's been a lot of, he's got a large house, so there's been a lot of people coming and going, but there's never been any problems there. The other thing I'll say is that the two Airbnbs have provided a job for another neighbor that is right next door to us, who is unemployed. So I really can't come up with any negatives since those two houses. They were owned by individual families before they became vacation rentals, and those neighbors, you know, we probably didn't see them any more than we see the owners of those homes now.
So it sounds like y'all have had a generally positive experience. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
I live on Highland, and there's a corporate Airbnb near the end of Highland. It's been around for about a year and a half. The woman bought the house, and within a year, had it on the market as an Airbnb, mm-hmm. as a short-term rental. And my issue, frankly, is not with you folks that live nearby, it's the corporations mm-hmm. that don't live nearby that have no sense of community. I'm from Cincinnati. We were there during the holidays. He stayed at an Airbnb, and on the wall were the covenants that the Airbnb owners have to abide by. Just something like that here would be helpful.
So I'm curious, when you say that the out-of-state LLCs don't have a sense of community, what does that mean? What do you find that's lacking?
Well, the corporation is a Texas corporation. We're in Weaverville. They have no connection to Weaverville. They have no sense of community. The backyard has become a children's playground in an area where there's older people. It's wintertime now, so it's not heavily used. But when you get weddings and parties, it has been a little bit of a party house. It's only going to get worse. And again, with corporate owners, they don't care.
So it's the lack of connection to Weaverville, the seasonal use of the Airbnb, and the kind of larger events that bring bigger groups.
The real issue is the disregard for the community, the lack of accountability, the disregard for the community that the corporate Airbnbs or short-term rentals have. And again, with people who live nearby and they're responsible, that's fine. But these other folks are not living nearby, and they are not accountable, or they don't take
accountability. I live on Salem Road, and we have three short-term rentals just on Salem Road alone. They've been there for some time. One's a 2-1, one's a 3-2, and mine is a 1-1. I've stayed in some of those corporate Airbnbs in other cities and other states and other countries, and that to me is the crux of the problem, because it is usually a management company, it is somebody who's out of state, and when I stay in those Airbnbs, they aren't cared for as well, they don't even feel like a home, they feel like a business. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking to limit, restrict, license, or do anything, I think we don't all need to be included in this 10% or 20% corporate problem. I think the focus needs to be on that, because when you're including everybody, it makes me feel, somebody who runs a place that's a five-star place and then I've been a super coach for 5 years, it makes me feel like maybe I'm not doing my job, and I am doing my job, and I'm keenly aware of those who are not. So how do we combat that? Do we as neighbors go to this person and say, hey, we have a problem with this, can we have a discussion? that person may choose to or not choose to, that corporation may choose to or not choose to. So I think the focus, if they're no license, they're going to restrict, it has to be on that. And I really personally don't want to be included in that, but it certainly will help you target that bad element, because it makes the rest of us look poor. And most of the people that stay in my Airbnb are people that are moving here. They're looking for houses. I don't get a lot of vacation people. I don't get a lot of people going to the Biltmore. And to be totally honest with you, my Airbnb has been down 50% in the last year. A lot of people are doing the same thing. Do I have neighbors that are trying other things? I'm trying other things, long-term rental, furnished finder, stuff like that. So I just think there's a problem. It exists, but I just don't think everybody needs to be included in it. I think we need to target the true, actual problem.
So I'm curious, I see, oh my gosh, I should have used a thicker pen, I can't see. Can't 25. So I know 25, you investigated who the owner of this property is. I know you guys know the person who owns the properties around you. What about the rest of the group? Those of you that have, I mean, positive or negative experiences, hang on. Positive or negative experiences, have y'all looked into who those owners are? Have you tried to contact them? If you were having issues, see.
There are two duplex buildings at the corner of Central and College Street. And they've been duplexes for a very long time, much, much longer than I've lived here. I knew the residents of three of those. Those two duplexes, about a year and a half or two ago, were sold, and now they're Airbnbs. And what happened is all of the residents had to leave. They were all, I don't want to say evicted, because they were given, wasn't out by the weekend. But one of the gentlemen that lived in one of those said he lived there 25 years. He was widowed. This is all he knew. These were the only friends he had. He didn't know where to go. None of them moved to Weaverville, and they moved out because they couldn't find anything, and they couldn't afford anything. So they've all moved to other towns. But the gentleman that lived there, it was just sad to see all of them go, because they were our neighbors, and especially him, because, he didn't have anybody or anything else to go to. This was his everything.
So I'm going to come back, I want to put a pin in that, and I want to come back to my question of those of you anybody in the group, have you investigated who owns the Airbnbs? You and them.
So I have two Airbnbs, one next to me and one across the street. I have very quickly met both of the people who own them. They are both relatively local folk, and they're like neighbors. So I've had zero issues at all with either of the STRs. I've actually become friends with some of the people who stayed at the one next to me, because the lady who runs it, she screens very well. I don't know what she does to do that, but she gets lovely people in there. And so just today, I was texting with her, the owner, hey, I have water in my basement. You probably have water in your basement. And it's neighborly. I've had very similar experience to the folks over there. They're local folks who own the STRs. They're running this as businesses, but they are good neighbors at the same time.
And so I'm curious, were those Airbnbs new construction, or at short-term rentals, new construction, or were they converted from homes? Do you know?
I don't know the full history. I'm relatively newer. I'm not one of the people who have stayed at a short-term rental on Church Street.
Because I'm curious. Yeah.
I live on South Main. So I know my house is almost 100 years old, and the one that is next to me is about as old. So it's definitely not new construction. And the one across the street, I don't think is new, but I don't have that experience.
And so were you here before the short-term rentals moved in?
No.
No, okay. So your experience is better than being here. Yeah. Okay, great, thank you. Yes.
So to follow up with Michelle's comment relative to those two duplexes, a very good friend of mine lives across the street from that, and I oftentimes go and check on his house because he travels quite a bit, etc. And one of the things that he couldn't be here tonight, but I know that he's had problems in the past, in addition to the fact that that person was evicted or whatever, The owner has never approached him ever, regardless of introducing himself and so on and so forth. And oftentimes, whoever is there will take garbage and recycles out and leave them, and whoever owns it, the guy doesn't come back for a week or whatever. And so that also then kind of deteriorates, you know, like the aura of that neighborhood as a result of that.
So I'm curious if, because you said you're kind of here on behalf of your friend, I guess.
Well, we have short-term rentals in our neighborhood too. We've had problems in the past. I had one across the street from me, and eventually we convinced that person not to. And because it was almost every weekend, there were strangers coming from Georgia, from Tennessee, and so on and so forth, and that certainly did not. But we were able to, you know, convince her that that was really not really conducive. I live in Hunter's Ridge, but we've had, there's one active one at the present time that doesn't seem to be a problem. There was another one down next door, two buildings, that was a whole house rental. But and specifically the one that Michelle's referring to, that it has not been a good experience for my friend, I can tell you that.
So I want to stay with him for just 1 minute. Can't see your number. okay, so you're in Hunter's Ridge, and
yes.
You guys had two short?
We have one active now. There were two. The other one house was finally sold, and the neighbor across the street from us, we had more of that you know, like it was around the corner, mm-hmm. underneath the house, and it was some kind of a thing. And we were able to convince her, you know, to not rent anymore, and I don't think that she is up here today. But there were, I mean, every weekend there was somebody coming in from out of town.
But you guys were able to get in contact with, you guys?
Oh yeah.
Identified. Okay, so what about this other one that is in your neighborhood?
The other one is also is owner occupied, and the only way you ever know that somebody's there is when you see a car that's not familiar to you.
And so, have you been in that neighborhood before the short-term rentals were there?
10 years, yes.
And so, have you know, like, what has been the change? I know you talked a little bit about, and I don't know if this was the same one Michelle was talking about.
No, it's a different one.
No, with the trash being left out and it affecting the aura of the neighborhood.
Right.
Was that the one Michelle was talking about?
That's one that she's talking about, but we've had a total of three.
Yeah, and so what has been your experience before the short-term rentals, after?
Well, once again, it's the idea that you have all a bunch of people coming in from out of town that you don't know, and you have a lot of little kids around, and in this crazy world, I don't know what could potentially happen, but I'm not real comfortable with having a bunch of people, particularly from other states, coming in into our neighborhood. I'm just not happy with that at all.
And Michelle,
I wanted to add those two duplexes, so it's a total of four units. The new owner is remodeled them before they short-term rental them. So one of the buildings is done and they're renting it out. The other one, it's been a year or so and it's not done yet. So it's sitting there completely empty. Two duplex units have been empty for a year. My concern is the number of whole house short-term rentals just take away from, you know, housing available to people who want to live here full-time. I've got the whole house rentals and the duplexes as well. So two people had to move out, and it's been over a year, and nobody has stayed in those things.
Yeah, I wonder if there's you mentioned 50% down. I wonder if there's some self-correction in that, because the one across the street from me, I don't really mind it at all. It's empty most of the time. And it's owned, it hasn't even been owned for a year, and she's put it up for sale. And she's reduced the price twice by $20,000. So it would be nice to have a family tax that was in there. But as far as the like jobs available, Beaverton used to have a good number of bed and breakfasts. There are none. And it's directly related to Airbnbs and hotels. Asheville has closed down 13 bed and breakfasts, and all the people that worked in those now don't have a job.
So I'm curious what the difference, I mean, obviously there's a difference between the two, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. What are the major differences between the two?
Personal contact, and somebody's there and part of the community. It's very similar to where he's got his, he knows it and rents it there. But we provide a whole lot of stuff. I'm one of the ones that used to be, it was bed and breakfast and we were there for 36 years. I've owned it for more than 22 years, and it's now no longer in business.
And the bed and breakfast, to reply to your response, the bed and breakfast business across the country and even across Europe has decreased because of Airbnb, and people are used to something less than what their bed and breakfast is offered. There's some beautiful ones that still exist, and they may still exist for the people that want them, but the majority of people are looking to bed and breakfast themselves in an Airbnb, and they may or may not get that experience. I feel empathetic and some sympathy for the poor man who is addicted, but you can't control how people sell their houses and who they sell them to and what they're going to do with them. You may not like that that house is empty, but then you may sit here and complain that it was full of Airbnb, so either way may not be satisfactory to your needs. You can't control when somebody refurbishes a house. So what is the answer? What do you do? Do you just stop the business or control the way a business is conducted? That's, and how do you do that? But you can't, that poor man was evicted or encouraged to leave, however you want to word it. But he was a renter who was a victim, and he depended on who owned the home. It sold, things changed.
So I want to bring it back to this discussion about the neighborhoods and the neighborhoods that y'all are a part of. So if we can keep comments focused on that and those experiences, let's try to bring it back into that. Yes.
I'm sorry, I was kind of, I think I missed. What's the point of this?
So this is part of a larger public engagement process that the town has put together to just investigate whether there are impacts to short-term rentals on the community. It's something that everybody in Western North Carolina is looking at. And so to be, to preempt, essentially, to look at it before it, if it ever were to become a problem.
Yeah. So we're talking about how we feel in our neighborhood. You're taking notes, and then are you giving them to the town? I guess, where are these conversations going?
Sure. So we had one session that was just for the general public back in December. We have this session today, and then we have another session next week for short-term rental owners and operators. I'm combining all of this feedback, and it will be put into a report and then sent to the planning board.
Okay, so these conversations are going to the town of Weaverville Planning.
Yes.
Okay.
Will that report be publicly available?
Yes, absolutely.
I live on off West Street in a cul-de-sac, and it's very quiet, and I really like it. There has been some long-term rentals there, but because of turnover, people have now become permanent owners. There was and I'm quite surprised to hear that there are no bed and breakfasts any longer. There was at least one, possibly two, on Brown Street, which is a couple of streets this way from. And I'm wondering if that's in fact what's happened. Is it not because the real estate market has just driven them out? I know that there's been some older homes that have been bought and refurbished for a lot of money. I haven't noticed any particular problem in my neighborhood with bed and breakfast.
And what about short-term rentals in your neighborhood?
No problem that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I've been there for about 30-some-odd years.
And do you know how many short-term rentals are in your neighborhood or where they are?
I'm not aware of any. partly because I'm just isolated from the rest of the development.
Thank you. I think I saw
So on our side of the highway, it hasn't affected our neighborhood. We don't have too much of a neighborhood to begin with. But a big problem on our side is the city has never extended sewer to our side, so we cannot build houses. Like, I want to build a rental house, I can't build one. My neighbor wants to build eight, he can't build any because we don't have any infrastructure to build those homes.
Okay, if I may add to that, the city does not provide sewer. The town does not provide sewer. That is provided through MSD.
Impact. It's kind of neutral. We're in the same general neighborhood. Terry is, and then the gentleman in the corner. And apart from the one property that he referenced that the neighbors kind of talked about a few years ago and the owner ended up selling, I was surprised to find today there's actually four short-term rentals right within a few blocks of us, which I never hear anything about. So I don't have any feedback, pro or con, you just don't hear anything. So for what it's worth, I do think, one of the things that's been mentioned by a number of people, walkability is a thing the town's really committed to. People, taking an interest in neighborhoods, which is wonderful. So there's a, there's a balance here that we have to achieve.
And so you said that those four short-term rentals, you kind of just became aware of them. Did you look into who was the owner of them?
I was aware already that two of them were, and Terry mentioned two of them, two of the others, I didn't know were rentals until, my wife looked them up and I went, oh, cool, didn't know that, which...
One is really new.
Yeah, so I have no idea if there's ever been any issues. I don't know, if I would have been aware anyway, but...
And do you know if those owners are local, are they out of state?
Do not know.
Jeff, are you talking on South Main there?
Well, there's one around South Main. There's one
there's several over there.
Down the street from us on Yost to the left.
Oh.
Yeah.
To the
left of us. Yeah, if you're going down Yost on the right, and then up around the corner on Yost, the big house down in the...
Kind of behind you.
Yeah.
The kind of A-frame? Yeah.
That one's on. Yeah, they've got that listed. And then, of course, Joe's around the corner. So, Kind of reiterating what you said, plus a couple that are just sort of invisible to me.
And so, you talked about them kind of being invisible. I guess in your neighborhood surrounding you, what are some of those characteristics that, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, what is the Airbnb, what is the short-term rental doing that fits in that community character that is important to you? What makes it invisible?
Well, two of the three in our neighborhood were people were living in the house when they were in. And I think that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. It's still a short-term rental, but it is different.
Right. And we've done that a lot, and we love it, and get to live with someone that lives in the area and stuff. But to me, that's kind of a little bit of a different, because those owners still are a big part of our neighborhood.
Yeah, I think in our neighborhood you have pockets where there's several houses where people know each other and get together, and then you have several others where people stay to themselves, you don't know who they are, and for most people who live around us, that's not a big deal, just kind of the way it is. But now the, and of course part of it could be because they're rentals, don't know. So it's probably a little bit of different character than some of the other neighborhoods, not good or bad, these dimensions.
All right. Yes, one thing, and then I've got a couple other pieces on that.
I'll just say, as the old fogey in the room, my family's been here since 1785, and I'm a Weaver and a Reagan, but it's a cultural change. The thing that we're talking about with the bed and breakfast, you know, younger people aren't interested in interacting with other people or meeting other people at a bed and breakfast or talking with other people. They're siloed, you know, right now. And there's been a cultural change in town, you know, from the people. I lived in Opie Land, running in and out of everybody's house in the neighborhood. It was safe to go out and just come back. And it was safe on our street when we first moved there for the kids. I'm not sure that that's true now. So there's a cultural shift in people wanting to know each other, people that have moved in, people that are here to invest in some cute little town, and people who are here because we love the town and we love the community and we want to build community.
That's a good point, yeah. Okay, thank you for that, that's a good point. All right, so I wanna, any final thoughts on important community characteristics, experiences, positive or negative, on how rentals have affected that?
I live off of Ridgewood, and there's a cul-de-sac on Park, and a woman who apparently lives in Reeves Creek developed this land and built a house, and as I understand it, because I didn't get to speak to her, I hear from my other neighbors, she wanted to rent two parts of that home, and I haven't got a chance to meet the people who are renting. They've been in there for a while, but there's a big RV. It's been there for about 2 years. So there's no connectivity with the rest of us in the neighborhood, and it bothers me a little bit, because when I bought my house, I bought it for the community, for the residential value of being in community.
And is this a short-term rental?
I'm not quite sure what's going on, because I was told that she wanted to live there, but I'm not sure what the rules are with taxes and whatnot, so I really can't say.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I want to talk to, I guess, who has moved to Weaverville within the last 5 years? Okay, y'all are who I want to talk to first. Or people who have obtained long-term rentals within the last 5 years. Okay, yeah, you're part of this group. Okay. okay, so I guess I want to know about your experience with pricing and availability of housing. And we know that there's some, you know, larger trends at work, but I'm just curious, when y'all were looking for houses in the neighborhoods that you either live or rent in now, what was that experience like as far as availability and pricing?
5 years ago, there really wasn't a whole lot of availability of what I was looking for in Weaverville. The house was a 3-year renovation. I think they bought it from some family members for $154,000. They tried to put it on the market a year before I moved in for $425,000. I ended up buying the house renovated, but it needed work for $361,000. That house is currently worth
$700,000. Wow.
So, good for me. Other ones in the neighborhood are now on market houses. And unfortunately, because a realtor or somebody wasn't aware that things were crashing on the West Coast, two of those, one went down $60,000 in a year, one went down $85,000 in a year, and there are no offers on either one of them, although one has been surveyed. So I think things have changed. There's even less available at too high a rate. And that's my take on it. And people that are in the $300,000 and $400,000 range can't find anything livable in Weaverville. Yeah. And you read that article about the water. Is there enough water in Weaverville? Because the next 5 years or so, it's going to increase by 50%. So there will be twice as many people in this room. What's that going to do to prices as well? So it's crazy. It's good for some people that got in early, not good for people that are coming late to the program. This is my
team. I live on Moore Street, and we built a house there and have lived there now for a year. And growing up, it was all about, gosh, when we're going to buy our first house and how much equity we can get, and get the next house and then the next house, you know. And now that I'm at this level affording a house in Weaverville, I'm like, oh my gosh, how can anyone like me back then ever have that? You know, it's just out of their out of the market, and I don't know where we go with that, but I would just love to see people be able to still have children that can walk to school and walk to the library, or at least not be too far away. And I'd love to be able to get back there, and that's a big issue, believe me, I know that, you know, because I'm living in the comfort of my home and enjoying the value of that home. But it's not sustainable with our communities.
Well, our situation's a little different. We built the house during the pandemic because we're out of our minds. We got it done, but yeah, it's at an insane level. If anybody was building during that time, you know what I mean. We're renovating.
Can I just tag on?
Really quick, I want to come to you. You raised your hand for a long-term rental.
Yes.
Right? I'm curious about your experience. Did you find it challenging to find rentals? What was your experience?
So to summarize the situation, my husband grew up in the area. I did not. We met away, and then he wanted to move back to Ubeck family, and I said, sure. I had never been to this region of the country before. Signed a lease on a house I haven't seen and moved in on January 1st, 2020. It's in the Knoll Ridge neighborhood, right by Sonyok Cafe. The plan was to rent for a year while we learned the area. Fell in love with Weaverville. I honestly couldn't even comment about what's happening in the rest of Asheville because I don't go past the Woodfin Wall. Plan was to rent for a year and then buy. We are still in the same rental house. What I've seen shift over the last 4 years, I wasn't here in the past. From what I can tell, there's the shift in the demographic of Weaverville. Historically, Weaverville was families, working class, maybe, kind of old school. In the last 4 years that I've been here, it's been shifted to wealthy retirees. I'm a different demographic of most people in this room, sorry. And I think that short-term rentals actually tie in to kind of what is the demographic of Weaverville, in which way does town council or the community want that demographic to go. I see that as being a difference, specifically, I guess, for a few reasons. Okay, I'm 32, my husband's 38. Our household income is in the top 10% in the state of North Carolina. We've been looking for a house for 4 years. We have 20% down payment. We can't afford to live in Weaverville. And we quit looking, and now we're looking at housing markets in Charlotte and Raleigh, which are ironically cheaper. So that kind of has been a little bit eye-opening. You know, I say that probably most people in this room, when you try to buy a house today, you could.
Yeah.
I know that like Way of Sky and Town Council can affect things like the roller coaster interest rates and the COVID market. Asheville's not cool. I get that. I looked it up. In the last 4 years, housing across the country went up 45%, but in Weaverville went up 77%. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the few things that could be controlled is short-term rentals. I do see how short-term rentals affect the prices of housing. I mean, I'm lucky in the fact that my landlord is still renting the same house to me at the same price. If I was her, I would kick us out and sold it because she can double her money. I mean, well, 77% of her money right now.
So I'm curious, with your kind of experience in the housing market recently, and you know, anybody who's kind of part of this newer group, feel free to chime in. Did you find, so I bought my house last year. I live here. I live anywhere near here. Because I can't afford it. But we got outbid on several houses, and I went back and looked at all of them. And some were bought by out-of-state entities, and they started showing up on short-term rental lists. Not all of them, a couple. Which, that's the market, but I'm curious if anybody else has had a similar experience within the last 5 years. Did y'all go back and look and, you know, kind of see where it came in?
I'm
also far the same like age group as her 28. And the only reason we afforded a house in Weaverville was because I'm a travel nurse at the time. But if there was anyone else my age, there's no way. Our house was one of two options in Weaverville in 2020. And it was the only thing under $250,000. And we put a lot of money into it. And other people couldn't have afforded that. It was a lot of work.
I would say everyone of our age group I know has either moved out, is planning on moving out, lives on family land, or bought before 2020.
We moved into the area in 2021. And when we first came here too, we planned on renting. And we did stay at a short-term rental up in Burnsville for 4 months. And in that 4 months, we couldn't find a place to rent. So then we changed our plan. We're like, okay, now we need to find a place to possibly to buy. And you know, on the few homes that we were interested in, we were twice outbid with all cash offers. So, you know, and that's stemming from people moving from wealthier coastal markets or maybe empty nesters moving to here who have built up a lot of equity in other markets. And relatively, compared to those places, this place is less expensive if you come from those areas. But, I mean, to your point, you know, when people want to live here but then can't afford it because the price is too high, or there's such limited availability of housing, they will go to other bigger markets like Charlotte or Raleigh, where there's more job opportunity. So in the long term, you know, small towns like Weaverville and other towns in the area will really lose out on, you know, future economic benefits if this condition persists and people can go other places.
Thank you. I have a couple numbers to add that. So to that, there's 1,772 single-family homes in Weaverville. On Saturday, I combed through Airbnb and I counted 74 in town limits. So this is just Airbnb, not like VRBO, FlipKey, private websites. I also have no idea how many of those are like full house, full property versus renting out like the tiny house in the backyard. I did filter out right now, I was renting out just a bedroom. But if 74 houses are Airbnbs, that's 4.2% of Weaverville single family homes are being used as a commercial business and not as a residential home. And then also when you look around, I mean, I know town limits, I can't just think out of town limits, but when you look at the houses being built, there's probably like two a year. So there's no increase in supply. All there is a decrease in supply and increase in demand, which obviously is going to drive up prices. When also just looking around Airbnb, a lot of the homes that I looked at, they're not the million-dollar homes on the golf course. They're the small, simple house in densely populated neighborhoods, the kind of house that would be used for a single family at a starter home or a like a grandparent on a fixed income. That's just a short-term business model. You buy cheap homes and you make a profit. You don't on million-dollar Mountain View vistas. So what I saw was not only is the number of houses being reduced from the Weaverville population, but it's negatively affecting the poorer population. You know, those $300,000 homes are non-existent. They're kind of being taken away from the market disproportionately to different demographics. And then also I know from my personal experience through the grapevine of who owns short-term rentals. Most of the short-term rentals I know about are not owned by out-of-state conglomerates. There are some, but we are lucky that this is really common in like Florida. We're lucky that a lot of them in Weaverville are owned by local individuals. But the demographic that I know of is everyone I know that owns one is over 60 and wealthy. And so they are making an income off of the short-term rentals. And from my personal experience, it seems like there is a improvement on the wealthy retirees that are coming in. And there is less of a market for the young family starter homes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I have some similar figures. There are 2,125 units in Weaverville per the census. There's 85 active short-term rentals, 92% are whole house, 7% are private room, and 1% is a hotel. Yes, and then I want to, we've got 6 minutes left, and I have another piece I just want to get to.
I should make this really quick. Are you comparing that to what, the reason I say is we moved here 20 years ago, my story was just like that. So I don't know if it's how much has changed versus supply and demand.
Hold that.
It's always been a problem.
Hold that thought.
Okay. Come
back to a second. Yes,
and the
really
other thing you need to look at the statistics is you need to see if those houses were year-long rentals before they converted into Airbnbs, because a lot of people rented their house out yearly and realized they could make more money doing short-term rental. So your statistics may be skewed down a little because they may have already been rentals and only provided rental year by year or whatever. So they could have been long-term rentals and converted to Airbnb to make more money.
Interesting.
So that's a whole nother avenue.
Okay, so we have 5 minutes left. I have one more topic I want to get to very quickly. For longer-term residents, so this would be people who were 16, the ones who weren't in this previous group, how did your experience either finding your long-term rental or purchasing your house compare to the experiences that the newer residents, those that have been here less than 5 years, how does that compare?
When we came from Northwestern Pennsylvania, we came down here shopping in 2013, there was a boatload of $300,000 to $400,000 homes, available in and around this area, and now obviously that's not the case at all. I mean, we probably went through 30 different homes that are $400,000 price range. You can't find that today at all.
We came here in 2014, and our house, I did some research, was on the market for quite a long time, was priced too high, and we got it for a better price when we did make an offer. But it was, there were houses on the market then.
Anybody else have a similar experience to number one and number
10? Yeah. Sure. I have a starter home that we moved into 1980, I think it was built in 1984. And it is a, we didn't have a lot of money, and so I made most of my investments in sweat equity. Now, I'm living in an apartment while my house is being completely renovated. It will change the character. In Village Park is a development that is almost all just starter homes. My house will be an entirely different house in another month or two. The value of the houses, we looked around and my wife insisted that we live somewhere close so she can walk to town. That was a really big deal. And so as a result of that, and looking at the other houses, we just decided we'd go ahead and bite the bullet. And so we're looking forward to it, and we hate living in the apartment, and it'll be a whole lot nicer.
2005, I built my first house here, a couple miles north of Weaverville. 1,800 square feet on a full basement on 3/4 acre for $217,000. Acreage.
Wow. That's a pretty different experience than some of the other
attendees. You know, one more quick point. I've had access to some demographics, and I may not have this exactly right, but the median age in Weaverville is about double what it is in Asheville. It's around 54, it's around 27 in Asheville. That tells you right there we're not getting any young families in here, which is kind of part of the lifeblood of the community.
you know, having seen some children in the neighborhood and kids to go to the library and go to the school and all that, and we're losing that. And nothing wrong with retirees at all. I'm not retired yet, but we love retirees.
Right.
But it's becoming just that, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of two different problems, because, yeah, we are the, for whatever reason, the oldest, the most educated, richest in the region, which is great in some sense, but even if you stopped all short-term rentals tomorrow, you know, the way the market is, people from outside would come in and buy them up, and you'd have the same demographic, and there'd be zero, you know, temporary housing. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. That's what would happen.
Yeah.
Well, we are, yes, last one, and then.
Just go on what you just said. You know, we're talking about 4% of the homes. If you just sold all, it's not going to affect. That ship has done sail for the prices. You know, we're talking about 5 or 6 years ago, homes were $300,000. You can go back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, $100,000. That's just the time that ship has done sail. And like you just said, 4% of homes is not affected by that.
All right. Well, I just want to thank each of you for coming out tonight with the weather and for sharing all this information. I've got a lot of notes. I've got a recording. And, you know, we're going to keep moving through this process. But I really appreciate each of you for sharing, you know, your experience.
Overnight.